going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to MyBookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah. Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years. My bookie. My bookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.
Today on the ZABEcast, it's Andy Polin, the guy I once derisively called Good Enough Andy. A man who knows more Redskins history than anybody. Somebody who loved Chinese food, Tiger Woods, and 60 Minutes on Sundays. And a guy who taught me the word mushugana. Your bonus, uncensored 35-minute edition of the ZABEcast is locked and loaded. So buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Wednesday, May 21st, 2025. Thank you for joining us. Andy Polin is in the house. Where would you say the NBA is right now, Andy? In a great place? In a healthy place? In a tenuous place? Or still in a very dicey spot on the NBA landscape? Or on the sports landscape, excuse me.
I would say tenuous. That was actually the word I was thinking.
Tenuous.
As you posed the question.
Really?
I think, not that it's, you know, based on the future of the league or anything, but if the Knicks don't make the finals, this is going to be a rough year.
What's the NBA. I was going to say, does it matter who comes out of the West, that if it's Indiana versus Minnesota or Indiana versus OKC, that that's terrible for the NBA and large markets and to the casual fan?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there are a few players, you know, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is going to win the MVP, but
right.
I mean, people who are not necessarily NBA fans really can't identify with either team.
Yeah, it's weird how these leagues, they put teams in these markets and it's almost like they don't think like, well, what if they make the finals? Is anyone going to give a shit? Like, imagine if Charlotte ever makes the NBA Finals.
Depends who they play.
If
they play the Lakers, it's okay.
Right, but let's say it's not the Lakers, though.
Yeah, well.
Charlotte versus Memphis in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that
would be a weird one right there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but, I mean, the league is not in a position where they might fold up. I mean,
No, of course not. Of course not. But ideally... Sorry about my alarms keep going off. Can you hear those, by the way?
No.
Okay, good. That was just on my end. Yeah, ideally the leagues would rather have the bigger markets, the more pedigreed teams, be in the championship round. But they like having the other franchises in the league because they pay money to be expansion, you know, teams, and they're good for overall business. But I don't know if they really want them actually in the finals.
No, they want the Lakers and the Celtics, of right. course.
On a loop, if possible, right?
Right. Was the NBA ever stronger than when they were meeting on a regular basis?
Probably not. What would be the weirdest NBA finals you could think of? I'm going to put the Hornets against, say, the Kings. Charlotte, Sacramento.
Yeah, that would be up there. But, it, you know, again, if the Knicks don't make it, any combination of the other three teams is not going to be great.
All right. How about the Magic and the Pelicans?
Fine. You know,
for an awful, oh my God, whoever thought of that as an NBA Finals?
But the Magic at one time had Shaq. So that would
understood.
Make them watchable.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, one day, you know, one day it'll be the Wizards and the Utah Jazz. And well, then we can really say we're living, baby.
Well, the Wizards, and they were then the Bullets, and the Sonics, who are now Oklahoma City, they met 2 years in a row. And that was considered to be the low point of the NBA. It needed Magic.
Was it really?
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah.
Finals of 79, we had a pretty good
78
team.
And 79.
Oh, sorry.
They met, yeah. met both back-to-back years, and there was talk that, oh, God, it's a league made up of drug addicts, and there were people who said, too black. The games were put on tape delay because, God forbid, they should take up prime time for something like that. And, wow. you know, had Magic and Bird not come along, I don't think the league would have folded, but they would have gone through some tough times.
Wow. Well, the league is doing something I think that is actually kind of dangerous, but nobody views it that way. Do you know what it is they're doing that I think is running a huge risk and nobody wants to paint it as such?
Fill me in.
They are going back to the nostalgia route with NBC next year.
Mm-hmm.
The old theme music.
Right.
They've roped Jordan in to be part of their coverage. They're doing this stuff like, hey, remember when you really loved the NBA? And the dangerous thing is, so we're going to wrap the NBA in the feel-good skin of what we once knew in the prime Jordan days.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the product and the players are still going to be the same. And once we get there and realize that you can't go back again, sort of like a woman cramming herself into her skinny jeans as a 45-year-old,
right.
that could lead to a major letdown, in my opinion. No.
What does that mean? Does that
it just
mean
means that they're going to go press a button to try to make things better again, and they may find out that the button does nothing. And then what do you do once you've done that? You feel desperate, like, okay, what now? We went to the okay. old round ball rock theme. We got Jordan involved. Why are ratings still down again?
Okay, let's go there. Let's say that people tune into NBC thinking, oh, good, I'm going to see Michael Jordan play Karl Malone in the Utah Jazz in the final. What? I've turned on my TV and Michael Jordan is 60 years old? What happened? Wait a minute.
I'm not saying they're going to be literally fooled, Andy. I'm going to be saying that they think they're boomers like me. Well, I'm not a boomer. Gen Xers like me
yeah.
are going to say, yeah, yeah, it's still not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same. And the game isn't as good because they shoot threes all the time. I don't know if they can do anything about that.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't want to be that guy that says they shoot too many threes, you know. Threes are fun. What did I once say that I wanted more than anything in basketball?
And four-point shot.
Right, the four-point shot. And you guys laughed at me. We're still not there yet, but eventually we'll get there.
Well, if we get there, that's what we're going to see, because a lot of the threes that Steph Curry and some others shoot would be fours in your plan.
Right. Well, that's that's one of those things. I contend, even though my basketball playing radio partner Brian Butch scoffs at me when I say this, I say, you know, Brian, I think the reason that they take a lot of threes is that they're the only open shots out there. that every other shot is so highly contested because the players are so athletic that a lot of times they're settling for long threes because that's what's open.
Right, but you'll also see on a break a guy pass up a layup to kick it out for a three.
That is true as well.
Right.
So maybe we need a inner three-point line where if you are inside a semicircle around the basket, that two is worth 3 points. A second three-point line.
I'll go down this road with you, if you like, and let me throw this into this mix.
Yeah.
The player that had, for many, many years, the scoring record in the NBA had one shot, the skyhook, which, incredibly, no one else has developed over the years. There are few players tall enough to really, you know, make a living off it. But how about if someone develops a skyhook that you give him 4 points for making that?
What would be defined as a sky hook?
Anything that Kareem
any hook shot? Because Kareem's sky hook was called a sky hook because he launched it from such an insanely high point, right?
Right.
At eight and a half feet maybe off the floor?
Probably. He was, 7'2"?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, just dump it into Kareem, let him sky hook it. The one thing about the old NBA, going back to the early 80s even, with Magic and Bird, is just how dedicated to getting the ball into the post teams were. Where they would dribble down, they'd go off to the wing, they would then bounce it into a guy in the post, he'd try to get an angle, he wouldn't have the angle, he'd kick it back out again, they'd repost it to the guy down low until they finally got the look they were going for. It was at times tedious if you look at it now compared
Maybe
to a modern
so.
Game.
Maybe so, but the game of basketball that I learned at the YMCA in the 60s was get the best percentage shot. And I don't know, I'm not an expert, but it would seem a big guy making a layup would be considered a high percentage shot.
Well,
and you're talking about the early 80s too. The 3-point shot didn't come into the NBA till 1979. So the learning curve for guys to develop that and make 3-pointers on a regular basis took some years to happen.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm looking forward to watching the NBA playoffs now that we're down to the final four and it's going to go eeny, meeny, miny, mo every other day. There's going to be a game on for 14 straight days, if necessary, best of sevens. But I understand that it's not necessarily a sport or a league for everybody at this point, and the glory days are likely never coming back in any way, shape, or form.
Right. I remember the days of looking forward to 8:30 when Magic and Bird were going to play in the finals.
I'm sorry, 8:30? I thought you meant 3:30, because that's usually when they played, right? Afternoon
on Sunday.
Spring games.
Yeah, on Sunday.
But during the week, yes.
During the week, yeah. Yeah, we would do that.
All right. So you're rooting for the Knicks, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And any preference in the West?
Probably Oklahoma City.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm. Well, we'll see how that goes. Let's change subjects to our friend Robert Griffin III.
Mm-hmm.
You've been following this dust-up with Ryan Clark. Also a guy that was in our orbit briefly in Washington when he was a one-year half player, half media intern for his next career with the Redskins.
And they were teammates. RG3 was a teammate.
They were teammates indeed. This whole thing is absolutely embarrassing for both men, but I don't know if they're capable of understanding embarrassment at this point.
Yeah, it's one of those rare instances in this feud where I'm siding with RG3. Now, what he has done is what he always does. He's a moth to a flame. He sees something that's news and inserts himself immediately into it. But the angle that Ryan Clark has taken here is absurd. It's just ridiculous.
And the angle is?
He's saying that because Robert Griffin III's second wife, and I believe his first wife was white as well, because that's the case, he can't have an opinion on a black athlete,
Or that he is blind to what they struggle with, black women in society in general. Mm-hmm. Does Robert have a sister?
I don't know. I know his mother is black.
So there's a little reference point right there. I'm sure RG3 had some black friends growing up.
Yeah. So although I wonder about his friends' orbit, since the person who's most important to RG3 is RG3.
That's the thing. Man, every day that goes by, and I'm not picking sides per se, because I think Ryan Clark is equally deplorable, if not more so. Every day that goes by and everything that happens, I think to myself, how did I get duped on RG3 so bad that I sat there with you in a studio and said, you know, Andy, he is unnaturally mature for his age. I said.
You weren't the only one. Our friend Tom Lavero was smitten with him.
Tommy?
Oh, yeah. When he would do things like he was holding an outdoor news conference and he would say something while a plane flew over and would say, do you need me to repeat that?
Well, that and good parking will win Tommy over any time when it comes to media things, right?
Right. And here's another thing that was like an early warning sign, and you kind of drove past it. But like at the Super Bowl, when they would come around with the Heisman Trophy guys because of the Heisman House, you know, commercials, and you know, they would actually get together and tape these things over a couple of days. And they would talk about how RG3 just didn't fit in with the group. Like,
yes,
he was doing his own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Cooley telling us, because he overlapped briefly with me. He's like, you know, it's everything he has to be the best at. If there was a record for pull-ups in the locker room, he'd have to do that. You know, the weight room, he'd have to set it. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, those guys are competitive, but he wasn't very collegial, as I was able to.
Right. Right. He was competitive in an annoying way. That's like, what are you doing? And boy, the way that Snyder cuddled up to him the way that Snyder took him to places like the correspondence dinner in downtown D.C., you know, for the White House.
Premieres.
Yeah. I mean, that is the worst thing for a team dynamic in the NFL. Yeah, he's the quarterback. He's the most important guy. But you can't, as the owner, really go over the top and reaffirm that to every other player, getting their bodies smashed to pieces and their head rattled around with future CTE problems that, well, this guy matters more, so I'm going to take him.
Well, the classic example was the game he was hurt and didn't play in his rookie year against Cleveland, and Kirk Cousins won the game, and Snyder practically tripped over Cousins running to see RG3 after the game.
Yeah, and didn't RG3 warm up in full pads?
Oh, yeah. No, he put on a big display, and the TV cameras were rolling, and as the story goes, he and Dan Snyder went to Mike Shanahan before the game and said, okay, he's ready to play.
What?
Shanahan said,
I did not know. I don't remember that. Snyder said he's ready?
No. Remember, he got hurt in the Baltimore game.
Yes.
And remember, he dragged his leg back on the field and played a couple of plays. Yes,
he evaded the great Dr. Andrews. No, that was in the playoff game. That was playoff game that he evaded Dr. Andrews.
No.
Or was it the Baltimore game?
It was the Baltimore game. And then finally came off the field. Cousins got them to victory in overtime. And then he had an injury, which I was told was a 4-week minimum. They called it a 1-4, and Griffin didn't practice all week, hoping he could play. He didn't practice. They went with Cousins in the Cleveland game. RG3, as you referenced, warmed up before the game. I remember watching this. He was running all over the field. And as the story goes, he and Dan Snyder went to Mike Shanahan and said, okay, he's ready to go. And Shanahan said, nope, we're not doing
that. Hell he is.
Right. Yeah. And so then they sat with his dad and they watched the game, and RG3 and his dad decided that Mike Shanahan was trying to sabotage his career and get him hurt so he could play his favorite Kirk Cousins. And that's when things really began to spiral out of control. Also, I noted this and got pushback on the air the following day, I think from you whoever was with us, that I said, you know, he didn't take a snap in that game against Cleveland, and yet he did a post-game news conference and made it clear that he wasn't happy that he didn't play. That wasn't good for him, but there was such a love affair for him going on that season, and understandable, that people just drove past that and went, okay.
Yeah, and none of this was detected in all the Kings' pre-draft rigmarole and all of the evaluation of the players and the personalities they have. They can't detect who's going to be this monster Todd like RG3 was. Or if they do notice that, hey, this guy could be a locker room dividing Todd, they'll just ignore it and go, but the physical traits are too good to pass up on. Let's take a chance.
And you ignore the warning signs, like this is, again, not something that's definite, it's just sourced, but the word is that when they were doing the pre-draft interviews, they showed Griffin a particular play where he either threw an interception or threw to the wrong guy, and he blamed the coaching staff or blamed it on the play call.
Really?
And again, you know, you see what you want to see. That often is the case, you know, and that's what happened with that.
Well, we'll see. There's a lot of echoes to Shedeur Sanders on this, so we'll see if Shedeur Sanders has a similar arc once he's in there with the Browns and trying to play in the NFL, which is a very hard thing.
But the investment is different. You know, he's a fifth-round pick. Griffin was
the
highest.
That is true. That is true, right.
Number two, and they traded two number ones to move up to get him.
Yeah. And the fact that RG3 had such success early, only because of a cooked-up offense that minimized his lack of passing ability at the time, that it poured fuel on the fire of his ego. And so he became a complete monster personality-wise that didn't want to listen or didn't want to do anything that the coaches told him, and he was fawned over by the owner, that it just made it even worse.
Yeah, it was a bad situation, but again, spackled over by the fact he had an incredible year. He threw 20 touchdown passes, five interceptions all year,
and ran for 800 yards, right?
850. Yeah, it was remarkable.
Yeah, after getting his knee blown up, right?
Well, the knee was like in game, I don't know, 11 or 12.
Okay.
But he came back from it,
and then he had that Seattle game, and it was glorious for a hot minute, and then it all went south.
And he, as I was told, he went crazy when they suggested taking him out at the half. Yeah. They elected to keep him in the game, and now he's going around telling people, it was Mike Shanahan's responsibility to take me out of the game. Well,
that's
okay.
Just unbelievable. You know. Well, we'll see. The drive to basketball championships, the grind of raising the cup in hockey. From the court to the ice, today's elite athletes know success depends on having the right team behind them. Same goes for protecting your family's financial future. SelectQuote's licensed agents are your all-star team for finding customized, affordable life insurance that scores big on coverage and savings. SelectQuote has nearly 40 years of experience helping 2 million customers find over $700 billion in coverage. Other brokers offer one-size-fits-all policies that might cost more and cover less. SelectQuote's agents work for you to tailor the right policy in just 15 minutes. Worried about health conditions? SelectQuote partners with carriers covering high blood pressure, diabetes, and even heart disease. No major health issues, get same-day coverage with no medical exam. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/Zabe. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe today to get started. SelectQuote.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. SelectQuote, they shop. You save. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job post seen on other sites, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. Want to know how fast Indeed really is? In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to MyBookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny-come-latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with MyBookie.ag. On the Caitlin Clark front with Angel Reese, do you have any particular thoughts on that? I thought Nick Wright had a good take yesterday. He said, you know, Angel Reese, look, she is a wildly famous rebounder right now. Like, she's just, other than being a rebounder, she's not very good compared to other top shelf and WNBA players, but her whole brand is built on I'm the girl that hates the face of the league and is willing to feud and beef about it. And that's not a bad cynical lane to be in to build your brand. If it weren't for Caitlin Clark and the fact they always seem to get into it one way or the other, who's Angel Reese exactly?
Well, yeah, I mean, they had already made their names together in college. It's similar to Bird and Magic, but this couldn't be
better. There's a lot of other WNBA players who had every bit the college career of Angel Reese, and they're just in a sea of otherwise nondescript WNBA players.
Okay, but what most casual fans remember is Angel Reese taunting Caitlin Clark when they were both in their junior year.
If she didn't do that, would we, and it, there was no future beefs, would we even know who the hell Angel Reese is?
Probably not.
Not very much.
Not most people.
Not to this degree.
And then it got out of hand, you know, and Jill Biden did something, you know, really foolish when she suggested that they bring both of them to the White House. Yes. No, that they would honor both of them at the White House. No, that's not how championships work.
So you gotta win it.
That made things worse because, you know, Angel Reese won and Caitlin Clark did not. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you gotta win it. By the way, can I ask you in a non-trying to start any shit way, your thoughts on the Biden cancer news?
I think it's terrible. I think it's a horrible thing that he has cancer. Absolutely.
But what about the fact that they're saying there's no way he has stage 4 prostate cancer that was not caught as of 14 months ago that's now spread to his bones?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have any idea about that. The other parts of this story are not also things that I'm, you know, pleased about either. My overall view on Joe Biden is that he should have been from the beginning a one-term president telling people that there was going to be a transition. And what happened there has led to a lot of other issues, which I don't really want to go into right
That's
now.
That's that. Look, we won't go far into it. But do you think that they covered up his cancer?
I don't know. But okay. I think that there were things that happened during the end of his presidency that should have been more public.
Yeah. Okay. ESPN is closing their L.A. bureau. I'm looking at a photo right now of Stan Verrett, Neil Everett, and the great and timeless Linda Cohn, looking fabulous for her age. And they are in front of the studio sign that says "The Final Show." Linda tweeted, "Ended too soon. The LA Sports Center is no more. We said goodbye on Monday night."
Right. Well, that was an idea that had a run, but, you know, things change in television. And she actually went out there, I think, mainly to live in Los Angeles. I don't think it was ESPN saying, we need you out there.
Right. Well, who wouldn't want to get out of Bristol effing Connecticut to do television in LA? Like, if you're Stan Verrett and Neil Everett, who I guess are going to go back to Bristol for the remainder of their TV contracts.
Neil left a couple of years ago. His contract.
So yeah, why is he in that photo then?
Oh, you know, it was an old time sake thing. Okay. Because remember, he and Stan went out there together to start that late Sports Center. And, you know, I think they've sort of been eclipsed as well by Scott Van Pelt. I know it's a show that's on an hour later, but he's made a much bigger mark at midnight than the LA show has. And they also, you know, they wanted to be across the street from the Staples Center. So they thought, okay, we'll get all these athletes in there. Won't that be cool? And that really didn't have much of an impact either.
So the ESPN empire is kind of shrinking back in a way that it once, you know, they let Van Pelt, by the way, do his show from DC though.
Yeah. Because he was kicking ass at midnight. And they didn't,
and that was the terms of the deal, right? He said, if you want me to stay, I want to be where I want to live, which is not in Bristol. It's in D.C.
I don't think he wanted to leave, but he said, look, you're already using a studio for, pardon the interruption, you know, what if I just, you know, use it in different hours or use another part of it? And that's what they did. Now, you're following the end of Around the Horn, right? All that's gone down with that.
Okay, so let's talk about that. I remember distinctly the last time I played golf with Tony Kornheiser, it was at Caves Valley, and they were just about to start Around the Horn.
It's an old time.
I know. Yeah. And Tony, in his inimitable Tony Kornheiser-like way, grumbled as I asked about it that this thing, you know, was either going to end their show or some other thing that was equally bad. I forget what it was, but I can assure you he wasn't super happy about a similar opinion-type show preceding theirs. Good. I think it worked for a long time as sort of a, hey, we've got, you know, we got Popeyes and we've got KFC. So pick your choice. A lot of the same topics crossed over. But how do you think the show was Around the Horn?
I didn't like it as much as Pardon the Interruption, but I think it was a good show. I've met Tony Reale a number of times. I like him very much. I think he does a good job with what he has to work with there, because that's a tough thing where you got four different people in four different places.
Right.
They're not really broadcasters. They're more writers, most of them. So I like that. But, you know, in watching what's unfolded here, the ratings were good. I mean, it looks like they want to get out of the journalism business completely.
Journalism? You're calling Around the Horn journalism?
No, but you had journalists doing the show.
I would say they got rid of that for the most part the last several years. Who was the last big J journalist still on the show? Plaschke?
You have Kevin Blackstone is a journalist. The guy from Dallas is.
But they filtered in a lot of TV people, just, you know, like the Sarah Spains got to get a lot of run on Around the Horn.
Courtney Cronin is an actual reporter, beat reporter covering the Bears for ESPN. I mean, there are people that you know, are out off boots on the ground kind of people.
Sure.
And you know, and Tony and Mike, they were longtime journalists, but they haven't been writers in years at the Post. They're more TV guys. So there's that. And, you know, this was like the next generation of the sports reporters, which was the first opinion show on ESPN, which was Dick Schaap and several writers on Sunday morning. and that begat this. And, you know, it's ending now for reasons that nobody completely understands. Like they're plopping in some sports center. Now the story in the Post said, and I've heard this as well, that they wanted Tony and Mike to do an hour, which was something that they rolled out at the beginning. And Tony said, no way, I'm not doing an hour. Right. Became a half hour. And then according to the Post, they only offered him a small raise. And they went, the hell with that. We're not going to do that. So they say in the Post story today that they're going to keep, pardon the interruption, going after Tony and Mike retire. Let me inform them. That show, pardon the interruption, without them will last 3 weeks because it will just
they
be
are
another,
the show.
Yeah, that's like, oh, we're going to replace the Howard Stern show with a new show. No, that was the Howard Stern show. That's the show that he did. It was about him. You can't do that.
I did not know that they said they were going to try to do that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And that's not understanding chemistry. The chemistry that they have was built over 20 years before the show ever hit the air. They did that same act in the newsroom of the Washington Post for 20 years. They were well prepared when that show hit the air in 2001.
Yeah, I could kind of tell when they announced that Around the Horn was ending, that Woody Page was pretty salty about it. That was the best break Woody Page ever got. Made him a well-known name and face and unlocked a bunch of perks. And, you know, this for a grizzled, sort of a old prospector-looking sports writer, what a great gig it was for a long time.
Well, do you know who the original partner with Skip Bayless was on the shouting show that became so famous with Stephen A?
No.
It was Woody. They moved Woody to New York for a year.
Really?
And he and Skip argued, and then he decided, nah, I want to be back in Denver. And he said in the story, he's quoted in here, he said when he started out, it was $500 a show. He said he now makes $2,000 a show. So, you know, you add that in 3 times a week, an extra $6,000, you know.
Nice work. Nice work if you can get it. I say bring back Stump the Schwab and –
Well, unfortunately, Howie's no longer.
Oh, you're right. Howie's no longer signing. Doggone it. What other shows has ESPN canceled over the years?
Oh, yeah. They have
favorite canceled shows.
Rightfully so, the Mike Lupica show. that was canceled.
Okay. What was the show with the show that was like the contest show that was like the Star Search show? Where they went to identify the next generation of talent to be SportsCenter anchors.
Yeah, it was but it was based on American Idol. Yeah, Tony was one of the judges, and the winner. Do you remember who the winner was?
The guy that did the Big Ten Network. He's there at the Big Ten Network.
Still there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Hall. Yeah. And they had him like compete for salary or something. It was like a weird dynamic the way they did it.
Maybe we'll bring back Always Late with Katie Nolan. Or cold pizza. Or cold highly pizza. Questionable. With
That's
puppy.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that had a good run too from the kitchen at Lebatard's house.
Right. Barstool Van Talk, one episode and done.
That's it?
The shortest run show ever had.
Fortnite made him angry. Well, yeah,
Well, what happened was, you know, PFT commenter and Big Cat were the ones on the show, and they're going to do, you know, interviews from the back of their van. And it was a great concept. It probably would have been great. But then as soon as the show launched at one episode, they dug up old comments that Portnoy had made against Samantha Ponder.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they were pretty vicious comments, even though that was tangential to the other two guys that were going to be on the show. And they just decided we can't because Ponder made a big deal of it. And then, of course, Ponder gets sacked for reasons that are also...
But I wonder, you know, just thinking if that hadn't happened, might they have become what Pat McAfee is now? Might they have been ahead of their time?
It might have been. You know, the McAfee thing, he appeals to the dude bros that want to be jocks, you know, and hey, man, tank top wearing, beer crushing, life is good, man. But,
well,
yeah.
If I, you know, not that they would ask my opinion and not that I really know television, but if I had a say in it, I'd say, you know, you're really good at what you do. And having a couple of guys around you is a good idea. But you got like six guys sitting around there. And then your buddy.
You're saying this about McAfee.
Yeah, and then your buddy is on a separate screen in another city,
right,
and you have to like let him know when it's time to ask a question. You could knock out about half of that, and the show would be better.
Oh, but Andy, I look at the array of his crew there behind the glass and in the studio with him, and I think to myself, what do they do? Because they barely get in any shots talking-wise that's not needed. That McAfee runs such a high motor that they don't really need the other guys, I don't think. I mean, it's great that he's brought his boys along for the ride because they were with him early on. But it seems like a way, way overstaffed venture, if you ask me. But hey,
it is.
It's working, and he owns it, right. And they're just renting it, which is nuts.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was called Dream Job from 04 to 06.
Right, that's it. Yep.
Maybe we can bring back Playmakers. See, that's the show I really, really, really want to bring back. The show that the NFL killed because it portrayed pro football as having two salacious stories that was somehow besmirching the NFL's brand, even though Playmakers did not use any of the marks, logos, or other intellectual property of the National Football League.
Well, I have the whole series on DVD if you'd like to binge it one weekend.
You do not.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, because I was at ESPN at the time, and they used to give you handouts like that from time to time.
On DVD.
Yeah.
Playmakers.
Mm-hmm. Got the whole series.
Yeah. Oh, my God. See, that's okay. I want that. Can you please put that aside? Next time I see you, I'm going to get that. The other show that I desperately wish I could find somewhere is Life on the Down Low, Life in the D-League. About the basketball D-League. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. And you used to play a soundbite.
Yes. One of the players, they mic up the players. They've got like this Hard Knocks behind the scenes camera crew following them everywhere they go. And one of the players speaks up like, I don't think we should have a practice because, you know, we just practiced the other day. And we've got back-to-back games. So, you know. I'm just saying, he was trying to like gently go, I don't want to practice. There was another scene in the D-League TV show where one guy needed money so badly, he tried to return a television to Best Buy some 4 months after he bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that is a man after my own heart, Andy, because I'm the king of returning shit, it was so funny watching him argue with the clerk at ESPN about why they should give him the $400 because he needed it so bad. Oh, man. And you know, and what a channel that's been canceled is ESPN Classic. ESPN Classic, if it still existed, could be running these shows all day.
Yeah, I was very disappointed about that because I was a big fan of that. And I was hoping they would expand it. And in my dream job dreams, I would be working there. That's how much I like
ESPN
that channel.
ESPN Classic. Yeah, that would be good. I guess there's just no way to monetize it, that it didn't draw enough of an audience.
Yeah,
I guess in the day and age of YouTube where it's like, oh, you want ESPN Classic? Great, it's called YouTube. Just search for whatever you want.
Here's some trivia for you. Be pretty specific to the Washington market, but our friends, the Junkies, have had this incredible run on WJFK. They were offered a job there doing a nightly show, which tied the past to the present. And whatever happened, they didn't take it, which was a good thing because Josh Elliott got it. Remember Josh Elliott?
Went to college with and was on the same student newspaper staff, the Daily Nexus, with Josh Elliott. Yes, I know him, and he threw his career away because he couldn't keep his dick in his pants, and he had an affair that blew up his budding TV career. ABC loved him in New York. He had the look. He had the voice. He was on a rocket ride, and then he fucked it all up.
Man, well, he got that job, and the original offer was to the Junkies, and they turned it down, which was a smart thing
because
it didn't last, you know.
And they would have had to quit their radio show to do it?
I think that was part of it. I think they could not have done both, or maybe it just, you know, wouldn't have made sense to do both. I forget what it was.
Right. Yeah, okay. I'm looking at some other ones. Olbermann had a show from 2013 to 2015.
Wow.
Jim Rome is Burning was another one for a long time.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rome was the favored nation because he and who was the guy, Mark Shapiro, who became the head of ESPN, they got their start together. Shapiro was the producer of his show where he made his career by being shoved by Jim Everett. That yeah. Without that, he has no career because that made him seem like a tough guy, which he's not.
You know? No, he's a small guy.
Yeah. He really doesn't ask tough questions. No. He's not that guy.
You're not that guy, pal. I love that bite. Yeah. Maybe they'll bring back Unscripted with Chris Connolly.
Well, Unscripted.
Remember that?
But that was the show that PTI replaced.
Oh.
That was Wally Pipp. Oh, yeah.
Wow. How about that? Sports Night, 93 to 97.
Yeah. Sitcom, right.
Was that a sitcom or was it like a dramatic sort of a scripted show about SportsCenter?
No, well, it was a fictional takeoff on what Patrick and Oberman were doing on SportsCenter.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm looking at it now, Wikipedia. They had a pretty Aaron Sorkin, that's who it was, created by Aaron Sorkin, the very famous Hollywood producer, starring Josh Charles, Peter Krause, and Felicity Huffman.
Some pretty big names there that they became off of that. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's end on this. Juan Soto with the Mets is not going well right now. He's batting .242. He's 40 points below his career average. He's well below at career lows in slugging and OPS. Going to strike out 100-plus times. And according to sources, Bob Clappish, still out there doing great reporting, he reports the Mets are starting to become concerned about his lack of enthusiasm because he agreed to be mic'd up during Sunday's game against the Yankees but changed his mind because he was tired of answering questions about Aaron Judge and why he chose the Mets. He then bailed on reporters after the loss. He's on the hook for 15 years and $765 million.
Right. Yeah. No, these monster contracts, they're often a problem. But I would say this, your money is earned in the postseason. And if the Mets get there and he performs big, that's all that really matters. You know, if he hits .265 for the season and 30 home runs and, you know, 98 RBIs or whatever it is, it's what happens in October that really matters.
He's 26 years old. So we're talking paying him that much money until he's 41 years old.
I don't believe he's a bust, and whatever storm is going on now, it'll blow over, and you know he'll get hot at some point.
Well, it's too early to call him a bust, but it's not been this smash hit of a signing right out of the gate.
Well, I mean, he's done two things. One, signed the biggest contract by miles in Major League history, and two, he's doing it in New York. You know, where baseball matters, you know, right. He's not doing it in Milwaukee or Cleveland or someplace like that.
Right. But he's doing it for the B team in New York.
And
for whatever reason, most of the Mets' big moves and big splashes turn out to be epic disasters.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But the B team is not like it is between the Nets and the Knicks. It's more 1A, if you want to go there.
Is it really?
It's kind of that. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, having worked there, that's what I found, that the Mets are a very big deal.
I bet they took a lot of Mets calls and Soto calls on WFAN
the last two days. This is chum in the water.
Exactly. All right. Any big plans for Memorial Day weekend, my friend?
No, but I will tell you this, and we can do this in a future episode. I did something that I've never done before in my life. I bought season tickets for Maryland football. So I'm going to be doing that on weekends in the fall.
What?
Yeah.
With your own money.
Well, it's relatively low money if you check the prices. And my family
Andy Poland has paid for tickets on a seasonal basis.
Wow. But I have an extended family that's growing and two kids who went to Big Ten schools, so I figure they're going to get used.
Andy, don't get me wrong. I love it. I love it in a way that I can't explain, but to claim that I'm not gobsmacked by this news, no, I am. The gob has been smacked.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good. All right, well, I'm due to, grill some tube meat and hold a beer and just hang out with you now that summer is here. So let's find a way to make that happen, all right?
Very good. L'chaim.
L'chaim. There you go. The dead lies ahead of me seemed impossible to face.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, mybookie. Mybookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know, maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules, you name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.